welcome back to Between Two Wings. I am your host, Emily Norman, and today we have Robert Martin with us. Some of you may know him as Uncle Bob. He is a well-known software engineer, a best-selling author, and the one thing we do have in common is we're both pilots. Robert, thank you so much for taking your time to come on Between Two Wings today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Should be fun.
Definitely. So explain the whole Uncle Bob thing to us real quick.
Oh, man, I was working, it was 1980-something or other. I was working at a startup, and there was a fellow who joined the company, and he gave nicknames to everybody, and I was Uncle Bob. And he was this annoying kind of person. Uncle Bob, what about this? Uncle Bob, what about that? And so I endured about a year and a half of that, and then I left that company. And all of a sudden, no one was calling me Uncle Bob. And in some perverse way, I started to miss it. So I made the mistake of putting Uncle Bob in my email signature. And it just kind of went viral and everybody started calling me Uncle Bob. I eventually realized that it's probably a good brand.
So oh, definitely.
I kept it.
Yeah, well, our developers knew exactly who you were by Uncle Bob, so it's definitely working. So we usually start off each episode with kind of explaining our backgrounds a little bit. I have a PA-28 Warrior behind me. I know you are a little familiar with that plane, but let's talk about your setup. It's quite impressive there.
Oh, yeah, this is my flight simulator. So it's an X-plane simulator. I've got a nice beefy processor underneath the table back there. Got a nice, three display setup with four flights sitting over there.
Yep.
So that I can track where I am. You know, it's really cool to have X-Plane talking to four flight so that I can use the entire suite of electronics to do, IFR approaches. And I do a lot of practicing on this thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what we preach, you know, practice on the ground in a safe space before you get up in the cockpit for sure. So you have a lot of experience being a software engineer and the past 5 years being a pilot. Let's dive into some of those similarities. What are some of the main things that you see are very similar in both industries and, you know, down to the individual doing these two, you know, very different types of work?
Well, so it's interesting that software and aviation are both disciplines, right? They're both based on discipline. If you want to fly safely, you learn to be disciplined. If you want to program safely, you learn to be disciplined. It's one of the problems we have in the software field is learning to become disciplined in how you construct code. It's also one of the problems we have in aviation,
yeah.
Is maintaining those disciplines well. So that would be the first big similarity that I would talk about here is, you know, the need for fundamental discipline.
That's so true. And everything that we're doing, it's all a process. It's all, you know, you have your checklist and your way to do it. And it's essentially kind of the right way to do it. Not too many loose boundaries there. What are some of the things that both of these types of people struggle with in their industries?
Oh, heavens. So in aviation and in software, there's this problem of get there-itis. You know, mm-hmm. The mission becomes more than your life. And you see that in software quite a bit where the schedule deadlines override everything. They override safety. They override quality. The need to get finished just becomes the entire world of the software developer. When that happens in software, it leads to very bad software. When that happens in an airplane, it usually leads to a smoking crater on the ground.
Yeah, that I mean, that's true. There, like I said, there's very strict kind of guidelines of how you have to do things. What about the way that pilots and softwares work? You know, the process of becoming a pilot, and I assume with coding as well, it starts off very individual. But to become something greater, you do have to collaborate in a team setting. Do you think that these types of people excel in this area, or is it something they struggle with?
Pilots are individuals. We get into the airplane and we're alone in there, and it's nice, and you're up above the ground, and maybe you're even up above the clouds, and it's all yours. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's a I think there is some kind of personality attribute amongst pilots where they like to be alone. And programmers are very similar to that, at least most of the programmers I know. Very individual. We want to focus on our screen. We want to focus on our keyboard. We don't want other people around. Where, you know, we didn't get into the business of programming because we like people. Right? But there's a need in both software and in aviation to do CRM, crew resource management, to be able to discuss things with a co-pilot, discuss things with someone else in the airplane, or if you're a programmer, discuss things next to you, discuss things with people who are next to you. One of the disciplines that we've been promoting in software lately is something called pair programming, where two people work together at the same workstation in order to produce a program rather than the individual focusing all alone. I've found in the few cases where I've had a co-pilot in the air, it's awfully nice to have somebody manning the radios while you're trying to work out the approach to a runway at minimums.
Yeah, it's definitely handy in general. And also just that added sense of security. And I assume in the software engineer world, you know, having someone double checking or just collaborating with you also provides some sense of security and that you're doing something right.
Yes, although it's a difficult sell. People don't want to do it. They really do prefer to be alone while they're coding, but it does work out better if you're working as part of a team.
For sure. So most pilots aim to get this perfect landing, you know, they call it butter landing. What would you say is the equivalent of that for a developer?
Oh, for a developer, that's when every single test passes and you've got nothing but green lights and you check the code in and it runs through the automated tests perfectly and everything lines up and you ship it and the customers don't make a sound. No complaints. You know, the field service doesn't light, the board doesn't light up. It's just everything is perfect.
There you go. It sounds a little more complex than just one smooth landing.
Well, but it's all made up of incremental improvements, right? And that's how you do better landings, right? You slam it down a few times, you float over the runway a few times. Eventually, you kind of learn, maybe I can finesse it down onto the ground, and you damage your wheel pants less and less.
Exactly. So moving on to something a little off topic here, but you know, AI is something that is a lingering threat, kind of a rumor in both industries. What are your thoughts on this? You know, is there a way that the human element can be taken out of both of these industries, or are you just saying no way?
Yeah, not in my world. you know, as a programmer, I've learned to not trust what computers do and what other programmers do. So I'm not a big fan of this whole automated intelligence thing taking over. Now, having said that, I love the new auto land features, right? If you're a single pilot and you've got your family in the airplane and there's this button on the dash that, you know, your family can push if you have a heart attack in the cockpit.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right, let the thing land itself under those circumstances. But I'm not one who says, the entire aviation world is going to go AI or the entire driving world is going to go AI. I don't expect to see self-driving cars littered across the countryside. I think that's probably not something that I expect to have happen anytime soon. If ever.
Yeah, in my opinion, that's probably a good insight to hear. So, you know, here at 4Flight, a lot of our team in general are pilots, and even our developing team, you know, a lot of them are pilots, have done flight training, or just have an overall interest in aviation. You know, how important is that insight knowledge of the user community for developers and moving forward with the entire engineering process?
If there were one primary requirement for a software developer, it would be to know your user. And many of the problems we face in software are directly related to the fact that developers are given a book of requirements that they don't understand, and they implement those requirements without understanding the implications of what that means to the user. And we wind up with systems that do not function well and do not address the needs of the user. When I was very young, I worked at a company. We made test equipment for the telephone company, software for the telephone company to test equipment. And the CEO of my company said every software developer has to go out in a truck with a telephone repairman for a day just to understand who these people are that we are serving. It was one of the most valuable experiences of my career to be out in that truck with the guy and then watch him climb the pole and have him describe what he was doing up there and how my software was helping that guy.
Yeah, that's incredible. And, you know, talking about our team again, they all know who you are, so I had to give them a question while we are talking. So one thing they wanted to know is, what are some strategies that you recommend for large teams to maintain clean code?
Oh, heavens. Strategies for large teams to maintain clean code. Everybody on the team needs to be on the same page as far as the disciplines that you're using. Are you using test-driven development? I certainly hope so. Are you using the same source code control system? I certainly hope you are. Are you doing automated testing? Are you doing continuous building? All of these disciplines that we have constructed over the last 25 years, do you all agree on them? Do you all follow them? Do you have a checklist? Do you treat the daily operation and the daily development of software the same way you treat that airplane when you get into it? Is it the same level of discipline, the same level of dedication, the same level of personal adherence to a discipline?
There you go. Going back to discipline, that seems like a reoccurring theme in both of these industries.
Yeah, it really is.
They've also asked that you settle this debate for them. Where do we put the curly brace?
There is only one true place to put the curly brace. Kernahan and Ritchie nailed this 30 or 40 years ago. You follow the Kernahan and Ritchie standard. That's all. Otherwise, you are consigned to the deep, dark places of programmer hell.
There you go. Well, Robert, thank you so much for coming on Between Two Wings. I've thoroughly enjoyed talking with you today.
That's a lot of fun.
And thank you, everyone, for tuning into this episode of Between Two Wings. We'll see you next time.